Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A large manufacturing plant was in the business of making shoes. Those who were in charge of it, the management, spent a lot of money on the plant. They spent a lot of money for salaries. They brought in the best equipment. They brought in the best material possible to make these shoes. And the plant was going full speed. There were over hundreds of workers in the plant. The machinery was running day and night, and certainly there was a lot going on. The activity was at the maximum. And one day the president of the company came in and began to talk to the production manager. And he said to the production manager, "How many shoes have you produced?" And the production manager said, "Well, none." And the president said, "None? What do you mean, none?" And he said, "How long have you been in operation?" And the production manager said, "Well, 2 years." 2 years and you have yet to produce any shoes? And the production manager said, "Well, yeah, that's right. No shoes, but we really are happy. We've been really busy. We've been working so hard that we're all really tired out. And we've been so active at our jobs." Well, what would you imagine that the management might do upon hearing this news? Outside of perhaps having a combined coronary, they might also begin to question what's going on. They might begin to wonder, why are no shoes being produced? Now just imagine that on top of that building was a cross. And that cross meant that this was a church, that we were a part of a church. And so the church is really busy, a lot of activity going on, people are doing a lot of work, a lot of things are happening, but really the budget is rising above what it's been in the past. But really, are we doing anything? Are we doing what the Lord wants us to do? When Jesus was teaching the people the Word of God, it says that he got into a boat and began to teach them from the boat, and then he asked Simon Peter to put out into deeper water and to throw his nets over the side of the boat to catch some fish. Well, Peter was a skilled fisherman, and certainly he and all of his companions had been fishing way longer than Jesus had. And so I can imagine that Peter might have been tempted to say to Jesus, "Well, thank you very much for your advice. I appreciate it very much, but you know, we are trained fishermen. We know what we're doing here. We've been fishing all night and have not caught a single thing. So what makes you think that throwing our nets over on the other side of the boat is going to do anything different?" But Peter resisted the urge to say that to Jesus. Instead, he threw the net over the side of the boat again and came back with a great haul of fish, so much so that they had to call in another boat to help drag in all the fish, and it almost sank the two boats in which the fish were placed. And so Peter and the other fishermen were just astonished at what had happened. They were filled with fear. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid, Simon Peter. From now on, you will catch people instead." So they pulled up their boats to the shore and they left their nets and they followed Jesus from that time on. This illustrates the importance of what we are called to do as Christians. And that is, we are called to be fishers of people. Quite often, the church is viewed as really, we kind of look at ourselves as more of the keeper of the aquarium rather than fishers of people. We don't really look at how we can bring in new people into the church so much. And quite often, when new people come into the church, and we're grateful for that, they often come in as a result of either transferring from another church or just coming from another church that they've just left. But we don't often have many people that have just come from not being a believer or being unchurched to just becoming full-fledged attendees of a church. And so quite often why that happens is because we really haven't taken seriously this charge that Jesus gave to Peter to go out and become a fisher of people. Jesus is talking about coming to the realization that the ocean, metaphorically speaking, is full of fish. There are people out there, many people out there that are lost, that are heading towards the judgment of God without Jesus Christ. If Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, wouldn't it seem important that as many people as possible should come to know about that good news and perhaps have an opportunity to experience that in their lives? I mean, most of us have been brainwashed into thinking that religion is kind of a personal thing, that we don't really need to share that with anybody else. But I often wonder, how did we hear about it? How did we first come to faith in Christ if we didn't have somebody else bring us or hear or tell us about it? And certainly, we don't often do the things that we need to do to learn how to become a fisher of people. And quite often, we don't really see other people out in the world as someone who might need to hear the gospel message. We often will keep our own faith hidden so that others might not even know that we're Christians, because we don't want to maybe offend them. We don't want to turn them off. We don't want them to feel like that we are judging them, or we don't want them to maybe be scared away or something like that. And so we end up not saying anything to them. We are afraid perhaps that we might offend them and lose their friendship. There was a man who was coming to church very infrequently, and he came one time and the rector didn't recognize him. So the rector kind of, in an offhanded remark, kind of said, well, sir, are you part of the Lord's army? And the man was kind of unnerved being singled out like that, and so he said, well, yes, I am. And the rector said, well, how come we don't see you around here very often? And the man said, well, actually, I'm not part of the army. I'm part of the Secret Service. Well, I have to admit to you that for a number of years, I was a Secret Service Christian, unwilling to share my faith with others. And really, when that happens, it's important for us to realize that there are reasons for that, reasons why we do that. I remember hearing sermons about going out and sharing our faith with others, and I felt condemned because I wasn't going out and doing that. And then I hear a sermon on going out and sharing my faith, and I went out and really didn't do so in the right way, and it didn't go very well. And so I got turned off from doing that, and I thought, well, maybe it's just not for me. Maybe I'm not an evangelist or something like that. And so I came to realize that for me, witnessing to others, sharing my faith with others, had to be something that was more natural for me. It was something that I could do without having to feel pressurized into doing it. And I came across a way of doing that, which is called the lettuce method. Lettuce method. Now, not lettuce leaves or something like that, but lettuce, L-E-T-U-S. And I want to share with you that method in the hopes that maybe it might give you some ways that you might feel more comfortable in sharing your faith with others. So the L in our acronym lettuce talks about the importance of taking the love of Christ and sharing the love of Christ with others. When we go to be with others, do we really go with the love of Christ? Do we seek to share the love of Christ from our hearts with those people? Do we come with the right sort of attitude as we come to share with others? Do we want them to experience the love of Christ themselves? So the first thing to remember is to go with the love of Christ in our hearts. The E in our acronym LETUS would remind us the importance of establishing a rapport with the person with whom we want to share. Get to know them. Find out a little bit about them. Find out what makes them tick. Maybe find out what they believe. And maybe establish some sort of contact with them, some sort of rapport with them. And as you do so, that might open the door then for sharing to happen. The T in our acronym LETUS reminds us of the importance of talking about Jesus. Sometimes it's easy for us, we go out to talk to others, we talk about the church, or we talk about the latest issue that's facing Christianity, or we talk about this or that, and we never get around to talking about Jesus. And yet Jesus is the most important reason for going out and sharing our faith with others. There was a cab driver who was in Australia. He was driving around a Christian, and the Christian began to talk to him and engage him in conversation, began to get to know him a little bit, and eventually the conversation got around to religion. And the cab driver said, "I gave up religion after the Vietnam War. I want nothing to do with God, or the God who allows people to kill each other." "Wait a minute," the Christian objected. "You're accusing God for something that man is responsible for. It is the evil in man, his sin, that causes him to hate, steal, and kill." He went on to begin to explain the difference between religion, which is man's attempt to get to God, and Christianity, which is God's attempt to reach man through Jesus Christ. And so, when he began to talk about Jesus, the cab driver's whole attitude began to change. And eventually, by the end of the cab ride, the Christian asked if the cab driver would like to pray. So they prayed together, and the cab driver gave his life to Christ. All because this Christian was willing to bring Jesus into the conversation. So when we go out fishing, remember to take Jesus with you. The U in our acronym LET US reminds us to use stories when we have time to do that. There's nothing more powerful than our own testimony about what God has done for us, what Jesus Christ has done for us. To share our own testimony about how Christ has changed our lives, or what Christ has done for us in forgiving us for our sins, or whatever difference Christ has made in our lives, that can be such a powerful testimony. Some people like to share what their life was like before they came to Christ, and then how they came to faith in Christ, and then what their life is like after they've come to faith in Christ. All of these things can be powerful testimonies to those who never really have experienced a changing power of Jesus Christ. So it's important for us to use stories whenever it's possible to share our faith with others. And finally, the final letter in our acronym is S, and that reminds us to ask a sequence of questions. A sequence of questions. And certainly, as we do that, we can then begin to move that person toward either thinking about or making a decision for Christ. For example, we might give them a book and ask them to read this Christian book. And then after they've read it, we can ask them, "Well, what did you think of the book? Did you understand what it was talking about?" We might say to them, "Have you ever thought about making Christ more personal in your life, or inviting him to be more a part of your life? If not, would you like to know about that?" It'd be being a way of doing that. I had an opportunity one time to meet a guy and we just got to talking with each other, and eventually he found out that I was a Christian. And as we were talking, he began to ask questions about Christianity, and I began to try to give him some answers and that sort of thing. And eventually I asked him this question. I asked him, "If you were to die tonight, would you know that you're going to heaven for sure?" And he said, "No, I don't know for sure. I hope I would." And I said, "Would you like to know?" And he said, "Yes, I would." And so I began to very simply explain to him the gospel message. Well, sometimes it can be as easy as that. Now, many times it isn't. Many times we find people are resistant and they're not open to hearing things. But quite often we never take a chance and try to see what we might be able to accomplish by engaging people in conversation about our faith. Of course, we're not locked into this method of LET US. We can use other methods, and certainly we can ask other questions. The Holy Spirit may direct us to a whole new, different way of witnessing to somebody else, or sharing our testimony, or doing whatever. But if we're open to the Holy Spirit, He wants to lead us and guide us to people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it comes down to this. Do you really believe that people need to hear the gospel message? And if you do you want to share that message with them? And if you want to share it with them, are you willing to do what it takes to take risks to share with them the greatest thing that anyone could ever experience? And that is new life in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you were willing to reach us through some other person, through the message of another person, through the testimony of another person. Whatever the case may be, Lord, we thank you that you have reached us with the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would give us not only a desire to share our faith with others,
but the boldness to do so, that you would lead us to people who need to hear the good news, and that you would also fill our hearts with your love, that you would give us the ability to bring Jesus into the conversation, that you would help us to try to get to know them, to establish a rapport, that you would help us to certainly to ask questions that might help them to move farther along in the process. But ultimately, Lord, fill our hearts with your love so that we might share that love with others and they might come to experience that love that transforms a person's life. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that being full of the Spirit of love, we might be able and have the power to witness for you as we go out into the world. I ask this in your name. Amen.